This International Bible Lesson, Uniform Sunday School Lesson Series, is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verses 17 through 25, and Hebrews chapter 8, verses 6 through 13. Hear now the word of the Lord from the English Standard Version. And when it was evening, Jesus came with the 12. And as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. They began to be sorrowful and say to him, one after another, Is it I? He said to them, It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it was written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave to them and said, Take, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he meditates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. For he finds fault with them when he says, Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and so I showed no concern for them, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one to his neighbor, and each one to his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. In speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. And what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. May the Lord bless this reading of His holy word. International Bible Lessons Commentary, Uniform Sunday School Lesson Series, L.G. Parkhurst, Jr. Mark 14, 17 through 25, and Hebrews 8, 6 through 13. Mark 14, 17 through 25. And when it was evening, he came to the 12. Knowing he would spend his last Passover with his disciples, earlier that day Jesus sent two of his disciples to make preparations for the feast. A new day began at sundown, so a new day began on the evening Jesus went with his disciples to celebrate the Passover. After they celebrated the Passover, Jesus was arrested, tried, and murdered by the religious leaders. Mark 14:18. And as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. the Passover celebrated the Lord leading the Hebrews out of slavery in Egypt. In Egypt, they ate hastily, standing up. As people freed from slavery, the Hebrews ate the Passover slowly and reclined while eating. We need to read the other Gospels for a more complete account of Jesus' Last Supper. Jesus knew who, how, and when he would be betrayed by one of his disciples, Judas. He announced the fact of his betrayal in advance, so his disciples would know that he was not caught by surprise when Judas assisted in his arrest later that evening. Mark 14:19. They began to be sorrowful and say to him, one after another, "Is it I?" With humility, the disciples knew that it was possible for sin and the devil to trick them into doing the despicable evil deed of betraying Jesus. Presumably, they went around the circle, each carefully watching and listening to one another to see if the betrayer would be revealed. Perhaps only John knew that Judas was a thief and capable of betraying Jesus for money. See the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 6. Mark 14:20. Jesus said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me." The Gospel of Mark is shorter than the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew reported that Jesus indicated during the Feast of Passover that Judas would betray him. See Matthew 26:25. Matthew, Mark, and Luke indicate that Judas received what we call communion, or the Eucharist, or the Lord's Supper, with the other disciples. But that commemorative meal did not transform Judas morally or spiritually, or deter Judas from betraying Jesus. In his Gospel, John gives an extended report of what Jesus said that night. Mark 14:21. "For the Son of Man goes, as it was written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Regarding Jesus' betrayal by one of his disciples, quote, "It was written of him," Jesus, or prophesied in Psalms 41:9, quote, "Even my bosom friend, in whom I trusted, who ate of my bread, has lifted the heel against me," unquote. During Judas' lifetime, after Jesus was arrested, Judas experienced woe. Almost immediately, with regret, he threw his 30 pieces of silver back at the religious leaders and went out and hanged himself. In John 17:12, when Jesus prayed about Judas, he said, "While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except the son of destruction," or perdition in the King James Version and the New American Standard Bible, "that the scripture might be fulfilled." Judas was one of those who heard Jesus preach and who saw Jesus' miracles, but who rejected the one who did not meet his political or selfish expectations. Truly, it is better to have never been born than to reject Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Mark 14:22. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them, and said, 'Take, this is my body.'" Jesus used two elements from the Passover meal to institute the communion service, the Eucharist, or the Lord's Supper. God gave the Hebrews bread from heaven, manna, to eat in the wilderness to keep them alive. When we eat the bread during communion, we celebrate the fact that Jesus gave His body as the bread from heaven to make and keep us spiritually alive. Partaking of the Lord's Supper can remind us that Jesus Christ has freed us and lives to continually free us from slavery to sin, death, and the devil. Therefore, as His followers, we can enjoy a special, spiritual, personal relationship with Jesus all the time. Mark 14:23. And He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, and they all drank of it. Just as bread is used in the Passover meal, so is the fruit of the vine, which most probably was red in color. Following the Passover tradition, Jesus gave a prayer of thanks before giving His disciples the bread to eat or the cup to drink. They used a common cup, and they all drank from it. After they drank, Jesus told them the new significance that He was giving to their drinking the fruit of the vine. Mark 14:24. And He said to them, "This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." Making a covenant required the shedding of blood, as in the case of the Lord's covenant with Abraham, and later with Moses, when the Lord gave the Hebrews the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. When Jesus made the new covenant, He used His shed blood instead of the blood of animals. As part of His covenant, He expected those who drank the fruit of the vine to love Him and obey His commandments. Because God loves us, Jesus shed His blood so God could justly and mercifully forgive all who would trust in Him as Lord and Savior. Mark 14:25. Truly, I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. After Jesus rose from the dead, He would drink again of the fruit of the vine. With these words, Jesus' disciples would later recognize the fact that even though He shed His blood and died on the cross, that He planned and did live again in the kingdom of God after His death on the cross. During His last Passover meal, Jesus fully expected to be raised from the dead and live in a glorified human body that was fully capable of eating and drinking. As King Jesus, Jesus rose from the dead and fully established the kingdom of God in heaven and on earth, where He continues to reign at the right hand of God the Father. Hebrews 8:6-12. Hebrews 8:6. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is so much more excellent than the old, as the covenant He mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. Because of Jesus' sacrificial death in obedience to His Heavenly Father and His resurrection from the dead, His Father gave Him a ministry more excellent than that of the Levitical priests under the Old Covenant. Under the New Covenant, Jesus sits at the right hand of God and makes prayers of intercession to His Father for all His followers. Moses was the mediator between God and the Hebrews when, through Moses, God gave them the Ten Commandments, the feast days, and the priestly rituals, and promised to care for them if they obeyed Him. Jesus is the mediator of the New Covenant. Unlike Moses, Jesus is fully God and fully man. And Jesus is the mediator between his Father and all who will follow him, whether they are Jews or not. God's promises to those who will trust in Jesus are far better than the old covenant that declared, in short, "I will care for you if you keep my commandments. I will let you suffer the consequences and even discipline you if you disobey the Ten Commandments." Hebrews 8:7. For if that first commandment had been faultless, there would have been no occasion for a second. The first covenant was perfect on God's part, but it also pointed toward the need for a second covenant that God would make through his Messiah. Because those who lived in the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of Judah refused to obey the Lord and his commandments, the first covenant was not faultless. Furthermore, the first covenant provided only for the forgiveness of ignorant or incidental sins, not forgiveness for the high-handed, rebellious sins that took place when a person intentionally broke one of the Ten Commandments, as God's people in Israel and Judea intentionally did. In accordance with God's promises, the day finally came when Jesus Christ was born to save his people from all their sins. See Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And establish the new covenant in his blood for the forgiveness of all the sins of his followers. Hebrews 8:8. For he finds fault with them when he says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Though verses 8 and 9 are not included in the official uniform lesson series, in these verses the writer of the letter to the Hebrews shows that the prophet Jeremiah foretold that the Lord would establish a new covenant with Israel and Judah. See Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets to rightly become our Lord and Savior. Hebrews 8:9. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and so I showed no concern for them, declares the Lord. God gave the moral law, the Ten Commandments, as an objective, written in stone standard of behavior for all people. And the Hebrews were to obey and teach people of all nations to obey the moral law of God. A consequence of disobeying God was to forfeit God's protection, care, or concern, as we see from the Old Testament when God's people consistently broke the moral law of God and God punished them. Ritual performances could not take the place of obeying the moral law of God. When Jesus was tried and crucified, the religious leaders were careful about remaining ritually clean while they broke the moral law of God, by plotting the arrest, trial, and death of an innocent man, their Messiah. Their performance of religious rituals did not keep them from committing sins or cleanse them from sin. Hebrews 8:10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Because Jesus died and rose again from the dead, he is alive, and those who trust in him as Lord and Savior can have a personal relationship with Jesus. He will put his laws into our minds as we read about His life and His laws in the New Testament. His laws in our minds will make our conscience more effective when we are tempted. As we live our daily lives, He will help us specifically apply His laws when making decisions. Rather than write His laws only in a book, the Bible, Jesus also writes His laws on our hearts, on our will, or the center of our personal being that makes real moral choices. Jesus will be our God, and we will be His people. To believers in Him, Jesus also gives the Holy Spirit to guide us in our life and help us live as Jesus would have us live in specific day-to-day situations. Hebrews 8:11. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. The followers of Jesus will know the Lord Jesus personally and have a personal knowledge of Jesus, not just a I met him once type of knowledge. Therefore, believers won't need to say to one another, Know the Lord. The poorest and the richest, and the least and the greatest in the kingdom of God will know Jesus and be in a loving, personal relationship with Him. Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. As the mediator between God and His people, Jesus is alive and writing the moral law, the law of love, into our thoughts and choices. Jesus knows us, and He will be merciful toward us if we sin. Equally important, God the Father and Jesus will not remember our sins. As we love and trust in Jesus, Jesus will enable us to obey our Heavenly Father and His commandments. Jesus died on the cross to make our forgiveness by God justly and mercifully possible and to put us in a right relationship with God. What God said through Jeremiah has come to pass. Because of the redeeming work of Jesus, Jesus and our Heavenly Father will forgive and forget all our sins. Hebrews 8:13. In speaking of a new covenant, He makes the first one obsolete. And what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. The old covenant became obsolete when Jesus established the new covenant in His blood. The old covenant cannot do anything that the new covenant through faith in Jesus Christ can do for believers. The old covenant vanished away when the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD, and the temple sacrifices could no longer be made. Now, to receive spiritual transformation and be right with God, we must trust and know Jesus Christ personally as our Lord and Savior. Questions for discussion and thinking further. 1. Do you think the other 11 disciples suspected that Judas would be the one to betray Jesus? Give a reason for your answer. Two, how might you apply what Jesus said in Mark 14:21 today? Three, give one reason Jesus may have chosen to institute His Last Supper during a Passover celebration. Four, give one reason why the New Covenant is better than the Old Covenant. 5. What are the benefits of the New Covenant revealed in Hebrews 8:10? International Bible Lesson, Uniform Sunday School Lesson Series, L.G. Parkhurst, Jr. Benefits of Believing the New Covenant. Hebrews 8:10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds, and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. In the verse above, the writer to the Hebrews quoted what the Lord promised in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. The old covenant could not do what a new covenant promised. Therefore, the Lord promised to send a Messiah, a promise the Lord fulfilled through Jesus the Messiah. Indeed, in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13, the writer referred to the Lord's promise and declared, in speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete, and what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish. In A.D. 70, the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. Then, the old covenant, with its ritual sacrifices and Levitical priests, vanished. Under the new covenant, those who trust in and follow Jesus the Messiah have God's laws put into their minds as they learn more about and obey Jesus as revealed in the Bible. Jesus restores their conscience, and the Holy Spirit indwells them and helps them overcome temptations and conformity to this world. Day by day, they understand the mind of Jesus Christ better as they seek to do what Jesus would do. Jesus also writes the law of God on their hearts, so they love God and others as themselves, as Jesus and the law of God commands. Through Jesus Christ, they know and enjoy a loving and personal relationship with God. Therefore, the writer of the Hebrews could write that Jesus' followers no longer need to say to one another, "Know the Lord," for they know Him. Hebrews 8:11. Begin or close your class by reading the short weekly International Bible Lesson. Copyright 2019 by L.G. Parkhurst, Jr. Permission granted for not-for-profit use.